Hey friends, welcome to Worldview Matters. Today we're talking about things that Christians should be talking about, but are not. There's a new book out called Taboo. Hot button issues dominating our culture can make speaking out feel taboo. Hiding from hard conversations won't work. We need to know what God actually says about these issues, and by looking to Scripture, we can find the answers. That's coming up next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Welcome, friends. Thank you so much. Brand new book I mentioned called Taboo. Man, this is right up my alley because we talk about so many things that, unfortunately, a lot of pulpits in America are not addressing for whatever reason. Fear, don't want to lose a donor, a tither, fear of what people are going to say, you're afraid of people, not biblical, right? So we're going to talk about that today with our guest, Mike Novotny. He's a pastor, speaker, and author with Time of Grace Ministries. Brother in studio, thank you. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, David.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I want to tell the story to everybody because we were going to do a Zoom recording, but we found out you were in Wisconsin.
Yes.
So I said, great. And I'm excited, friends, because if you're in the Wisconsin area, Green Bay, Appleton area, I'm excited to learn of another good church I can recommend people go to. So, Mike, before we get into your book, Taboo, which I love the title, and by the way, the subtitle, Topics Christians Should Be Talking About But Don't.
Yeah.
You've done a sermon series on a lot of these.
Yeah.
Tell us about your background, because you've been in Appleton for a short time. You grew up in Green Bay. So give us the bullet point story about your background.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a Wisconsin kid, born 1980. So Gen X millennial.
Oh, my goodness. You just made me feel old.
Sorry. We're starting on the wrong foot.
Okay, no, that's good.
Yeah. Married my first girlfriend, Kim. She's an Appleton native. So,
awesome.
Yeah, born just up the road here. And we got two teenage daughters, Brooklyn and Maya, in high school right now. I've been a pastor since 2007. So getting close to 20 years of ministry.
Wow.
And I've been here for about a decade in Appleton preaching the gospel.
You know, for being a pastor since 2007, you don't look tired. You don't look battle weary. So I don't know, you're doing something right. But anyway, so I'm thankful for that someone got a hold of me about this book, Taboo. We talk about this all the time on Worldview Matters.
Yeah.
Not only what Christians should be doing, not just staying home and learn. We become consumers, right?
Yeah.
Take in teachings, take in, but what are we doing outside of church walls Monday through Saturday? Mm. What are we doing in culture? Are we engaging? Are we talking about these things? Because our kids, we're raising a generation of Christian children that don't know how to respond to all the craziness, the chaos, the confusion, the delusion going on in our culture, in the schools, around the country. So give us a little rundown and overview before we dive into some of the details of your book, Taboo.
Yeah. Yeah, so Taboo is a book about anxiety, depression, suicide, abortion, abuse, sexual intimacy, homosexuality, transgenderism, race, politics, alcohol, divorce, and a few other things that make me sweat profusely when I try to talk about them. But I think the heart of the book actually came out of my own story. So I was raised by my mom as a Christian, and I was all in from like the jump with Jesus. So I don't think in my whole life I've missed two Sundays of church in a row.
Wow.
So I got a 40-some-year streak going. I got on fire for Jesus when I was in middle school, high school, great pastor up in Green Bay. I was reading my Bible cover to cover, checking boxes. Like I was on fire for my WWJD bracelet in my senior pictures as a high schooler. But the whole time, David, I was addicted to pornography. Mm. Saw it when I was 5, I think, in kindergarten. And magazine and a swimsuit issue. The internet comes out in the 90s.
Yeah.
And so while I'm going to church and while I'm getting this calling into ministry and while I'm reading my Bible, I can't seemingly say no to the same sin. And I'm talking, if I could go 2 days without looking at porn, it was a good stretch for me.
Wow.
And I hated it and I repented of it. And if you ask me to this day, all these years later, to recite for you 1 Corinthians 6 or 1 Thessalonians 4 or Romans 1 or Matthew 5 or any sexual text. I could do it.
Hmm.
But the one thing I did not do in all the praying and promising and reading and church attending was talk. I never told anyone. I didn't tell my pastor. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell my friends. I just thought, I kind of practiced reputation management, that Jesus and I are going to do this together, and he's going to give me the strength, and through him I can do all the things. But I wasn't talking. So, you know, for me, taboo secondarily is about, we have to address the issues in the culture, because if we don't, how are people going to know how to handle them with grace and truth? But primarily for me, it's we, even as followers of Jesus, have secrets and struggles and questions. And if we don't talk about these things at the dinner table or from the pulpit or in our church, we go on living in the same situation that I was.
Mm.
And I can remember one day just bottoming out where I seriously wondered if I was going to make it to heaven. Not because I denied the perfect life, sacrificial death, or resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
But I just thought, how could a real Christian commit the same sin so many times in a row? And so I want to talk about this, that people can find hope and grace in Jesus and get back to the truth of God's word.
Amen, brother. So a lot of people are asking that same question.
Yeah.
The questions that you were asking. And you, before we got on the podcast, you just kind of gave it away, James 5:16. Tell us about that scripture, how important that is.
Yeah. I celebrate every April 24th because that was the day when I stopped keeping my secret.
When you told somebody.
I did.
Friend, pastor.
Counselor, actually.
Counselor.
Yeah, who helped me. Just insane. And it wasn't like a light switch. I don't think sin works like that. Like, I was never tempted again.
Yeah.
But it was a dimmer switch that really moved for me, and I experienced freedom and just stepped out into the light where God's people could help me, forgive me, and encourage me. So we've tried to really create in our ministry a huge culture of, even if it's awkward, even if it's messy, even if you're in the middle of it, the best thing that you could do is talk about it. So the devil's the father of lies, and I think his most believable lie is,
just keep it quiet.
Don't tell anyone about that. You'll do better next time. Because he knows once we bring it into the community of God's people where the Bible is open and the gospel's preached, great transformation happens.
Yeah. And that we don't go to that verse a lot and think of applying it to ourselves.
Mm.
Therefore, confess your sins to one another
and
pray for one another so that you may be healed.
That's it.
We always go to the second part of that. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much, right?
Yeah.
But we forget the first half of that.
Yeah.
And that's so important. And I'm taking that to heart as well. We all struggle with things.
Yeah.
Confess your sins to one another.
Yeah.
What does that look like practically? You said you shared with a counselor.
Yeah.
So with people in your church, I'm sure you talked to teens, young people, or anyone that came to you as a pastor, and once they shared, confessed, they were freed.
Yeah.
Now, the struggle doesn't go away, and the temptation doesn't go away, but that is a huge step. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, we try to create environments like that, like in our small groups all the time, where we are training people to practice, if you forgive someone their sins, they are forgiven. And so if I go out on a limb and tell you something, you could give me advice. You could say, I'm going to pray for you. You could relate to me. But the best thing that we can do as Christians is to proclaim Christ, to say, Jesus died for that. And I love when people confess something embarrassing or shameful, to just look them in the eye and say, you know God loves you, right? And David, when people always say, yeah, I know, but. Like, no. You know that God knew about that. And because of the blood of Christ, he loves you right now.
Mm.
He likes you. He delights in you. And that's when it hits people, when you get past the technically God has to love me.
Right.
But no, like the blood of Christ was so powerful. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness so that God's face lights up in grace and mercy. So we just want to get back to let's not minimize sin and say, hey, we're only human and everyone struggles. That's not what we're doing. But we want to make sure if the gospel is front and center, that this is the safest place in the world to be a sinner.
In church.
Yeah, because that's what Christianity is all about. So if you run from the church when you sin, the church has done something wrong.
Hmm.
Because the church, if you're hard-hearted and pharisaical and judgmental, you should run, because the church is going to come after you with the righteousness of God and repent of your self-righteousness.
Hmm.
But if you're coming humble and broken, if God doesn't despise a contrite heart, why in the world would we?
Yeah.
And so we're trying to do that on Sunday mornings and every day of the week.
Wow. It's so refreshing to hear this, because what you're talking about can be hard to apply.
Yeah,
and it is not the norm.
Mm.
It is the exception to the rule, kind of, at least from my understanding, what I've read about this, but I love what a couple of the lines here about the book. When we keep our struggles hidden, we often feel isolated mm-hmm. and alone. And healing often begins with acknowledging and sharing our struggles. You talked a little bit about that. So we have a couple more minutes before we need to take a very brief pause. Let's jump down to one of the other topics in your book. We talk about a lot on this program, mm. politics.
Oh, yes.
And so the question is, should we separate our faith from our politics?
Yeah.
Talk about another opportunity to apply our faith to our lives. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm getting a phone call right now, David. Is that, can I? Yes. Let's talk about politics and religion, right? Let's go in deep.
The two taboo subjects, yeah. politics and religion.
Yeah. You know, this is so tricky, but this really struck me. Actually, after I wrote Taboo, this came to me. So this isn't in the book. It never dawned on me, and maybe I'm just a dunce, that when the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Romans, he was writing a very, very long letter. I think it's as longest in the whole New Testament. To the people who lived in the Washington, D.C. of their day.
In Rome.
Right? So
yes.
Rome is the world superpower.
Yep.
And the political leaders who are running Rome are not exactly God-fearing, Jesus-loving, Christian faith-promoting people.
That's right.
But when Paul writes Romans under the inspiration of the Spirit, do you know how much time he spends talking about politics? 1/32nd of the book.
Okay.
So 16 chapters in Romans,
right.
Romans 13 verses 1 through 7.
Yes, Romans 13.
Is famous. And yep. do you know what comes right before that, end of Romans 12, and right after that, end of Romans 13? Long discourses on loving your enemies.
Mm.
If your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Keep burning coals on his head so he would be ashamed of, don't face evil with evil, but overcome yes. evil with good.
Yeah.
Now transition. There's no break in the original text between 12 and 13.
That's right.
It's just one thing.
No numbers.
So I say, as modern Christians, I think that's a really wise balance for us, that there is a place for us to talk about justice, governing authorities, respect, obedience, the honor that if you owe taxes, pay taxes. These are, by God's design, the structure that he's put over us. But if any version of that in Christianity divorces it from the love of enemies that overcomes evil with good, we've lost the original tone that Paul spoke to the Romans in.
Hmm. That's good. Friends, I didn't give the website that you can actually go right to get the book. It's timeofgrace.store, timeofgrace.store, and the book is called Taboo. I'm looking at the front cover, politics, abortion, transgenderism, suicide, alcohol, divorce, you know, taboo topics, things that of all human beings, the Bible-believing Christian, the church, should be talking about, warning about, opening up the door for someone to come to share about their struggles. But we haven't done a great job of that. We've got just a minute before we have to take a brief pause. Let's talk briefly. Let me just hear you share a little bit about religious freedom as an issue, because the Apostle Paul used his citizenship.
Yeah.
And that's a political... The Apostle Paul? No way. Yeah. I appeal to Caesar.
Yeah.
So why did he do that?
My small group is actually just finishing a study of Acts.
Okay.
And I've noticed so much Paul's savviness and wisdom in dealing with the political authorities, that he was so respectful of authority. Paul was not like dropping bombs because he was a Christian.
Yeah.
There's that really, is it Acts 23? Where he kind of talks back to the high priest and he gets slapped in the face and he gets super fired up. And then he finds out that's the high priest you just spoke to. And he immediately apologizes and said, you should not speak this way about God's ordained and anointed one.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, he's saying, I appeal to Caesar.
Yeah.
He's saying, is it okay for you to flog a Roman citizen without a trial? So he has some backbone.
Stood up for his rights.
He's not just caving in because I'm a gentle Christian like Jesus.
Right.
He's strong, but he's respectful.
Yeah.
And he's like this walking little imitation of Jesus who is full of grace and truth at the same time.
What a balance. And it's a good place to take a pause, brief pause here. We'll be right back with Mike. I forgot how to say your last name. Novotny. Did I say it right?
Perfect.
Mike Novotny, author of Taboo on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Hey friends, right now Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live, anytime, and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through 12th grade. And to celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. All you need to do is go to freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com, and use the code David15 to save 15%. That's David15 to save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. Our guest today, Pastor Mike Novotny, author of the book Taboo. So let's jump into this other one real quick, what I wanted to ask you about, because a lot of people don't feel equipped. Maybe they aren't equipped. Maybe they are and they don't know it. Why do so many pastors, because we've got problems in American pulpits. That's why culture looks the way it does. It reflects the church, right? And we see what's in our culture and what's going on. It doesn't look good. Doesn't look like there's a lot of Christian influence. So why do so many pastors avoid these quote-unquote taboo topics? Why do you think, and is it that they don't feel equipped themselves, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I preach decently long sermons, so I get a good 40 minutes, and so often when I was preaching a sermon on divorce, let's say, or what does the Bible say about homosexuality, or how to deal with anxiety, or can you be saved if you commit suicide? It was so hard to give a comprehensive, thorough, and satisfying answer, even in a long sermon.
Yeah.
So I'm not super quick to pounce on a pastor. The complexity of, if you talk about the sinfulness of homosexuality in the pulpit, you're going to have some people sitting right there who are going to just despair and say, I have prayed so much to change this. I can't. Am I supposed to give up marriage and children? You're going to have other people saying, well, why would that be wrong if God created a person and they didn't choose those desires? Another person would say, well, how can you judge someone for their sins when you're just a sinner? Didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7? So I think one of the things I was really grateful for is that in Taboo, we were able to spend not just a paragraph or a single message, but literally like 4 weeks in the pulpit on most of these subjects, that we could really say, hey, if you're wondering about this or this or this, or if you feel like this, that, or this, we're going to address that question. And so I think it's a little bit of a commitment. Are you willing to take the quantity time that it takes to have a quality answer to these big burning questions that people have? Because they're not simplistic. I mean, we can talk about life and abortion and when it begins from a biblical view. And then you have people who say, I'm pregnant from my abusive husband. And I know what he does to me and our children, and now he's going to do this to another life. What do we do? Right? So there's a depth and a complexity to almost all of these things. And I really want to avoid a simplistic answer that lacks compassion or realism. It's not that it changes what the truth is, but it just changes the tone and the way that we approach such things.
So you mentioned suicide. We don't hear a lot about that. Why do you think that we're afraid to talk about that or address that? I can't remember, honestly, and I've been around a lot longer than you, I can't remember a lot of sermons on suicide or mentioning suicide from a biblical perspective.
Yeah, when I was going through Bible college, I had a professor who said, suicide is a one-way ticket to hell. People go to heaven, repent, and they believe in the forgiveness of Jesus. And if a person commits suicide, it's because they're unrepentant and they have let go of the love of God for them. I think that was a pretty common thing to believe. I hear that even a lot of people say, you know, he committed suicide, therefore, automatically he's in hell. What a devastating thing to say.
Yeah.
And I think that came out of a generation that didn't totally understand the darkness and confusion of depression. I mean, now that I've ministered to people up close for 20 years, sometimes you just see a true Christian just deeply struggling in the despair of a deep depression that makes a choice they can't take back.
Yes.
I have a pastoral colleague who was just in his living room one day, boom, gunshot from downstairs. He was running over to the staircase, and who was stumbling up, clutching his own chest, but his son, saying, I'm sorry, Dad, I'm so sorry. Oh. And dies in his arms.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, that narrative, like, only unbelievers who lack total faith in Jesus would take their own life. So yeah. I've preached that message, that there's forgiveness even for struggling people like that. Mm. And then I've had parents say, my son is struggling with depression. Why would you say that? He's going to take his own life because he thinks it's a shortcut to get to heaven.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? I've had a mother berate me a month ago saying, you said that suicide is a selfish thing because it hurts the people who are left behind. My daughter was not selfish. My daughter took her life and you're spitting on her grave. So
it doesn't matter what angle or what you, I mean, yeah. you're going to offend somebody.
Yeah. Right? And so I think this is the reason why it's hard for parents at a dinner table to say something about sexuality or suicide or anxiety, because it's so nuanced and complex. It really takes a commitment to, like, I'm going to do my best. And if I get this wrong, if I trigger someone or say something the wrong way, I'm going to try to follow up and minister to them. But this is not like check a box, repeat the passage. You did your job. Right. Like this takes, I think, a pastoral heart and a willing to go the long way for people.
Well, I give you a lot of kudos for addressing this topic, suicide and other topics from the pulpit. I don't know that I would say, I don't know you well enough to say you're a courageous, a bold pastor. Maybe you are. It seems like just by addressing these things, it does take courage, and that's got to come from God. And you can't do this in your own flesh. You wouldn't want to because you might lose a congregant, a tither, a donor, because you know that by addressing any one of these. I'm looking at the cover of your book, Taboo. I'm looking at these things that are, you know, marked out and thinking, well, if you address any one of these, you might lose somebody. Mm. So you're obviously not concerned about that. Mm. We've got 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Right there, just tell me or tell our audience why. I know you've been in ministry for, what, 2 decades?
Yeah.
And you're, I think it's rare to have that perspective that, you know, you want to serve God. Maybe it's because you want his approval, like the Apostle Paul in Galatians 1:10.
Yeah.
God's approval, not man's.
Yeah.
And so you're not afraid to address these things. Share a little bit about that.
Yeah. I think I've kind of learned on the other side of awkwardness is awesomeness. So, you know, with my own addiction, that was the story. It was really hard. I always picture it like a little hill, and it's so hard to get up that hill. But on the other side is this like beautiful meadow that God has made for you. Mm. And the other side of my confession, and I feel the same way about hard conversations. If I chicken out and if I bite my lip and if I'm a people pleaser, it's easier in the moment.
Yep.
And then you go home at night and you try to pray and you just know.
Yeah.
I mean, God's hand is heavy upon you because who got into this thing to make humans happy? We got into this to make Jesus happy, you know, to serve him faithfully.
Oh, pause right there just for a moment. That's so important. We have been kind of conditioned to pursue happiness rather than holiness, to make our to please our flesh rather than to serve and be an ambassador for Jesus.
Yeah. The Apostle Paul, is that Galatians 1:10? You know, if I was into people-pleasing, I would not be a servant of God.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a really good feeling, even if someone walks away, even if they're mad, even if they leave the caps lock on in the comment section, to know I spoke the truth and I spoke it in love. I didn't drop bombs like a self-righteous Pharisee. I try to be as compassionate and understanding and to be quick to listen and slow to anger. And then I said what God said.
Hmm.
And I didn't quote my words or my church's opinion. I just quoted the chapter and the verse. And I think if I can do those two things on the other side of the awkwardness, whether it's my own confession or a bold confrontation or a sermon about a taboo topic, it's just, you know, God is smiling on the work that you've done.
Yeah. Mom, forgive me. I'm smiling because I'm seeing this all the time. People leaving the caps lock on the comments. I'm going, oh no, if you only knew how that comes off.
Yeah.
But before we got on the podcast, you mentioned John chapter 1. I refer to this a lot. People always, especially around Christmas, we know that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but we forget that Jesus was and is the perfect balance of grace and truth. So take the last couple minutes, just share your heart on that.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's really easy in our culture, which is so divided and tense, to pick grace or truth. You know, I'm a really gracious person, I'm kind, I'm accepting, I'm tolerant, but I'm ashamed, honestly, of what the Bible says. I think that's an easy path. I think, I believe the Bible. Those people are the... thank you, God, that I'm not like other sinners. It's like Luke 18, the Pharisee. It's easy to be self-righteous. Mm. And I think for those of us who love the Bible and have conservative values, I think that's our temptation.
Yeah.
We're right, you're wrong. And the Apostle Paul, who thought he was the worst sinner in the room, we haven't thought that thought in a long time.
Mm.
So it's easy to choose between truth person or grace person.
Yeah.
But what I love about Jesus is that he was both. I mean, he was the most humble person in the room who laid down his life on the cross.
Mm.
And he would call out Peter and his disciples and the Pharisees and the leaders and Pontius Pilate. So he was so courageous and bold, and yet he cared about people so much in deep humility. And I think to be a Christian is to be a little Christ, is to receive his perfection and his forgiveness and then do our best in this really complicated world to try to not be either or, but full of grace and truth at the same time.
Grace and truth. Truth is part of our tagline here. And I can relate to the one that would say, God's word says it, that settles it.
Yeah.
No, I believe it, that settles it, whatever. But the grace, the compassion, we're dealing with human beings that struggle just like all of us do, and if we're willing to admit that. We've got just 1 minute left. Share the best way to get the book. Is it on the, it's on the Time for Grace, Time of Grace website? Is that the best place?
Yeah, you can find the book on Amazon.
Amazon too, good.
All of our resources at timeofgrace.org.
And it's Mike Novotny.
That's it.
All right, so Wisconsinite through and through. My goodness, it's such a pleasure to meet you. Did I tell that story at the very beginning? Yes, I did, because originally Mike was going to do this via Zoom, because I connect with people all around the country. I got the pastor in Ireland, pastor in Australia, guests from different continents, and Mike's right here in Wisconsin. We were going to do this by Zoom until about 4 hours ago, and I said, Mike, I just read in your bio, you're local.
Yeah.
So it's so good to have you come in studio, brother. Any closing thoughts other than, I know the Resurrection Sunday is coming up. You've got about 30 seconds if you'd like to just encourage our viewers.
Yeah, I would just love to say if you're struggling with something that feels taboo and you're embarrassed and ashamed, learn from my mistake. And don't spend the next month or year or decade in secrecy and in silence. Step into the light. Tell someone that can point you to the cross, pray for you, and help you find healing.
Amen. Great place. Great way to wrap this up, friends. I'm just so blessed every single time, every single guest I get to talk to. It encourages me, inspires me, and we need that to keep going, right? Well, God bless you, friends. Keep sharing the podcast. Thanks for your prayers. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.